Coming up, we have David Foley of The Natural Way. He's joining us as part of our Wellness Wednesday feature. We're going to have a conversation about alternative remedies. Okay, so if you have any questions for David, please get in touch right now on alternative remedies to 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. So I mentioned just before the break what's likely to happen in relation to scooters once this legislation is passed. Okay, so some of the key questions: what might a maximum speed be? They think about 25 kilometers per hour or lower in designated busy areas. It's unclear if the government's going to impose an age restriction on the use of an e-scooter, but most operators do not allow under 18s on them. It's expected that they will be banned from paths and pavements, so you'll only be permitted to use an e-scooter or a bike on or electric bike on in a bike lane where they exist or on the road. So you possibly could see these scooters going up and down your local main street, but not on the footpaths. It's unlikely that you'll have to wear a helmet, but it would be recommended. In terms of insurance, what the expectation is that private electric scooters will not be required to have insurance, but will be personally liable for damage or injuries that they cause. I don't know how that works, but that's what they expect. Insurance is ordinarily included in the rental fee for the shared scooter schemes that we talked of before the 11 o'clock news. Users will not be required, it's expected, to have a license to operate an electric scooter. However, they will need to adhere to the rules of the road. Breaking the rules of the road, what are the potential consequences for scooter users once this legislation is passed, which is not yet, by the way? Following regulations, an improper and or dangerous use of an electric scooter, it's believed, will likely result in a fine. And in terms of parking, what's the story there? Well, it's likely to vary across the various council areas, but mandatory virtual parking locations will likely be required in urban areas to ensure controlled and orderly parking. So that's what's expected when this legislation is finally passed. Okay. John Russell's been the victim of a significant crime. 21 sheep, 7 ewes and 14 lambs stolen from land at Knocky Brin, just outside Letterkenny. And hopefully through the power of the media, John will get them back. John, good morning to you. Thanks for talking to us.
Morning, Greg.
I mean, this must have come as a shock. Is this the first time you've been hit like this?
No, it's not the first. Unfortunately, it's not the first time we've been hit. There was a few sheep taken from the same farm back, I would say. We're not sure, obviously. I mean, sometime between November and we scanned in January, when we'd done the scanning numbers, we knew we were 10 sheep short at that stage. But when we thought, we went through the motions again, but never heard nothing about it since. And a neighbour, he lost 5 around the same time as well. Like, so, I mean, they're obviously somebody in the area or somebody as putting their hands in places they shouldn't be.
Describe to us where Knocky Brin is, because it's a townland and everyone might not know where it is, John.
Yeah, it's basically, if you're going up past where the old Unify was, up that road, and it's just between there and the old Woodland School would have been.
Yeah.
Up that area. Basically, that's kind of side of Letterkenny.
So when do you think your sheep were stolen? Now, this would be a significant enough operation. Do we suspect that maybe your neighbour lost his at the same time, John?
Well, back in November time and around that time, he was missing a few sheep at that stage,
Right.
But I mean, basically last Saturday morning, my cousin gave me a ring to say there was sheep on the kind of a big long lane up to this farm.
Mm-hmm.
Said there were sheep going down past her house that were on the road. So I went up straight away and I met 7 ewes and 13 lambs that were on the lane. So I mean, I opened a gate at the bottom to let them into the fields. And I went on up then to see where they'd come out of. So there was a gate up kind of behind her house up the top of the lane. It's always tied with a kind of a big cord rope. And I mean, the rope, it's a loop rope.
Mm.
So I mean, somebody physically had to take it off, but that gate was open.
Right.
And basically I says, right, okay, so there's more. I knew there was more sheep on the farm, so we've looked the whole farm and there's no sheep on anywhere else. Obviously they're gone, they're all around. I mean, 7 ewes and 14 lambs just don't wander. They're a big enough number, you'd see them anywhere.
Yeah.
but there's no sheep in the vicinity. And I mean, obviously, you don't count sheep every day. There's cattle in the field too. You might take a look at the cattle, but the last time they've been seen would have been the Sunday before. But there was a lot of rain last weekend, so it's very hard to see tire tracks and stuff like that. I guess, yeah. So I mean, I would have.
But John, we're satisfied, like, because there have been appeals in the past where they did end up in a neighbour's farm or something. You're satisfied that these sheep and lambs didn't wander off.
Our land is fenced round and round. Get it's you. Well fenced. Okay. And
what kind of a vehicle would be required to move? I'm trying to trigger any memories for people from last Saturday morning.
You're talking a jeep and trailer, like
the long trailer, probably. I mean, double axle.
Yeah, a good big long trailer. A jeep and trailer or something, or a van and trailer or something, some kind of a machine, like, you know. I mean, the problem, I suppose, Greg, is the modern day sheep now. You rattle a bag, and they'll anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, say, you needed a good dog to round up sheep, but now I think if you just have a good bag,
the
sheep will follow you, and somebody gets behind them and push them out, you're gone in 2 or 3 minutes.
Right. So they were numbered because it's lambing season, of course.
Yeah.
And they're numbered on the side from 18 into the 40s. The numbers are in blue, and they also have black on their backs as well. So relatively distinctive.
Black on their back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty distinctive, all right. Yeah, they're standing. They were good. There's very good lambs with them. They were born. All those sheep would have been born from the 20th of March to the 28th of March.
Yeah, so they're sturdy. Sturdy at this point.
They're good, big, strong lambs with them, and good kind of Suffolk cross Texel ewes with kind of Shirley Texel lambs. They stand out pretty well.
Do you believe, John? And you're in the farming community, and you've talked to other farmers that have been victims of this crime, and you were yourself. What do you think happens to these sheep? It's very easy to switch out tags and all that type of stuff, and it's not hard to get your hand on tags either. Do you think they're down the country somewhere, or across the border? Do you think they'll be offered for sale locally? Or what do you suspect, if you can, anything?
Yeah, I reckon somebody has to be moving them somewhere, because, I mean, like, a lot of the marts and Donegal's all online now. So, I mean, and I would buy a lot of sheep online and marts and stuff like that, and you'd be watching a lot of marts, and, you know, they don't come up that easily. You'd kind of notice what's happening. You see most of what's happening, but I know a lot of sheep go in lorries and stuff. But I mean, to me, somebody's moving them down the country. They're moving into the north, or jumping the border, or doing something. They have to have a way out for them.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously. Right. Listen, you've had stuff stolen. No one wants anything stolen, but a lot of work has gone into getting them to this point. A lot of your money has been spent, and a lot of money in terms of sales now has been lost as well. I mean, this is a significant hit to your... I mean, you're a farmer, but in being a farmer, you're a businessman, John. This is a big hit to you.
Yeah. Like those sales, that's the worth of guts of $2,000 for this one. Like, you know, it's a lot. There's not a lot of money and to be made out of sheep, full stop, in the story. Like, you know, and there's a lot of work with them for maybe sometimes not as much reward as you would like. You feel like kind of violated to a certain degree. You know, someone has taken your stuff, like, you know, and you're always watching and looking around you to see, you know, did you miss anything? Did you do anything wrong? Is there something, you know, and at the end of the day, you didn't. Someone else did something wrong, but you're the victim.
Right. So when do you think they were taken, John? Just again to try and trigger any memories people might have.
I would say, I would say sometime between, I would say, the 9th and the 12th and around that time, because, yeah. I mean, I say, there seemed to be a lot of the rain had kind of took away a lot of, but there was a lot of rain last week, all week, like, you know.
Yeah.
So sometime in around that, say, the sheep that were there had come out of the gate on the 15th anyway, so at that stage, so sometime between the 9th and the 15th, but I would say maybe, you know, middle
before.
Of the week, maybe.
It
could have been a couple nights before, for that matter.
I get you, John. And when the last time, and people would have noticed a vehicle that can pull a reasonably sized trailer that you can get 20, you know, seven sheep, 14 lambs.
Yeah, but I mean, like, those vehicles are commonplace on the road, Greg, as you know, like, you know, you don't pass. I mean, we drive one or two of them here, and, like, you don't pass on earmarks to a jeep and trailer running around.
It's just on
reality.
The off chance. It's just on the off chance. Who's to
yeah.
say?
Yeah.
And when you lost your livestock for a couple of months ago, no luck. I presume you were eagle-eyed at marts and what have you. There was no luck.
Yeah,
they were
yeah,
lost.
Yeah.
They were lost.
Yeah, maybe they would have been harder actually to move, easier moved along because, you know, they were just a single ewe. You could have got them away to a factory or got them away as fat ewes or fizzled a few. But to me, these would be harder to shift because they're ewes and lambs. If they're going as units, they'll be easier spotted.
Okay, and they're Suffolk Cross and Texel or Charlie lambs as well, too. For those in the know, they'll know what to look out for. Listen, John, I hope you get them back. We're hearing this all too often. It's enough of a challenge being a farmer at the moment, but between dog attacks and people stealing sheep and other livestock, it's just one thing after another. You're getting it in every direction.
Yeah, seems to be a ton of it, all right, unfortunately.
All right, take care of yourself, John. I hope there's some success coming from this, but they could be in any county in Ireland at this stage. All right, take care of yourself. Right, bye-bye. That's Cheers. John Russell there. He lost his sheep from Knocky Brin, just outside Letterkenny, up past the old Unify there, in case someone spotted something. Right, okay. David Foley of The Natural Way is going to be joining us very, very shortly. We're going to be talking a little bit about alternative remedies. If you have any questions for David, get in touch with us. 086 60 25,000. This is just to help you. It's not an alternative to traditional medicine. Is that how you describe it? It's just what might be able to help you. Right, wedding cards. Remember, we asked a listener a little earlier on, or we asked on behalf of a listener earlier on, how much you put in a card, and you responded. Thank you. Morning, Greg. I'd put €100 into a card. It's more than enough, in my opinion. My friend is here beside me having a cup of tea whilst we listen, and she says I'm cheap, that she'd put in €200 into a card. What about €150? Have another cup of tea and say, will €150 be agreeable for you? Thank you. What's the name of the book the man you had on there referred to about his experiences in Auschwitz? Man's Search for Me by Viktor Frankl is the name of the book. Man's Search for Me. In relation to smart meters, Greg, you stated in the future we'll all have to get smart meters in. Personally, I feel everyone should have the right to choose. We shouldn't feel pushed into getting something into our household that we do not want. I get you, but I think it's going to be a little bit like, you know, wanting your phone calls to be delivered to you on copper cable. Like, you might want that. But unfortunately, if you do, and, you know, no one's going to have a big opinion on that, it's probably not going to happen because everything's being switched to fibre, isn't it? Greg, my three daughters had a traffic accident on the dual carriageway last night. A doctor had stopped on the scene to see if they were okay and if they needed assistance. He'd just finished a night shift at Aunt McGelvin Hospital and was so accommodating and kind to my girls. With all the chaos, we didn't catch his name or a chance to properly thank him. If by luck he happens to be listening, I wanted to say thank you very much. So that doctor may well be, if they were coming off a night shift, may still be within earshot. If you are, your intervention with this listener's three daughters is greatly appreciated. They wish they had your name. They don't, and they just want to thank you. Right. We've carried out river restoration projects on salmon spawning, which have great results. Okay, that's someone who's obviously... Oh, it's actually from the Mill River Conservation Group. Thanks very much for that. Let me see. David Foley's going to be joining us right now. I mentioned that, didn't I? Very shortly. Greg, there is nothing wrong with being angry. It's a feeling. Aren't we always told to embrace those feelings? Yes, and I don't think our guest was suggesting otherwise. What he's saying, and I recognise it's not for everyone, that you challenge those feelings into positivity. Needs to be preached to football spectators and players abusing referees. Yeah, okay. Maybe. I don't think that's going to work. In studio, as I mentioned, now with me is David Foley of The Natural Way. We're taking your questions and having a general chit-chat as part of Wellness Wednesday about alternative remedies. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Greg.
Does alternative remedies describe it correctly? Alternative to what?
It does,
or at least not complementary as well?
Complementary, I would use more than alternative.
I think
quite
so.
Opposite.
Things have changed a little bit now, haven't they?
Yeah, yes.
So going forward, we're going to refer to them as complementary
remedies.
It can be a struggle to get younger people, you know, from toddlers to whatever age they might be, to have a varied diet, okay? And, you know, parents might at times suspect that they could be prone to illness or what have you. Is there anything that's safe to give to younger children, you know, to keep to enrich them and to help maintain their immune systems?
Yeah, oh, brilliant. I mean, really, like, I mean, one of the greatest things, I mean, is actually soups, you know, to be quite honest with you, you know. So, like, a lot of kids don't like maybe their vegetables. So sometimes, you know, if you can make it into a soup, they'll drink the soup, homemade soups now. So that's a great way. You can get multivitamin, like in, even in kind of sweet form, you know, that kids can take. So if you really want to cover all the options, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But just look for different ways that masks really
And soups are, I always think, are a marvelous way to do it.
We're always told soups were good for us, you know, when you're sick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get a bowl of mammy soup. Is there anything natural for psoriasis?
Psoriasis—that is a tough one, really. I mean, I, you know, we have things that kind of ease the symptoms, like you know, that maybe like aloe vera and things like take a bit of the sharpness out of it. But really, like in the health food shops, we don't really have much for psoriasis, I'm afraid. You know, a good anti-inflammatory diet is very helpful. So cutting down on sugars and things, because that increases inflammation in the body. You know, too much meat or heavy foods can increase inflammation too. So cutting back on these things, particularly sugars, can help with psoriasis.
And I think, David, it's always very fair of you in that, you know, there's no silver bullet to a lot of things, isn't it? There's a holistic approach. So maybe there might be something that takes the edge off things, but also too, there's other areas of your lifestyle in terms of diet and what have you that might be required a slight change to supplement your
Absolutely. Small adjustments can make a big difference sometimes, you know.
Yeah. Can David please recommend anything for tiredness and weakness after having the flu and finishing a course of antibiotics that they feel down after the flu? They might be but...
Yeah, that's very true. It's a very common thing we see, you know. One of the first things I think, if you mentioned antibiotics there, is you can get, you know, probiotics that are designed to actually build up the bacteria in the gut again. So that's one of the first things. Now, if a person often after does food a bit run down, we don't often take enough time to recover. In the past, we used to take more recovery time. We're going to get back into work. So, you know, if we can't do that, you know, it's good to take things that'll build up the immune system.
So do we think sometimes, you know, say, for instance, you have a flu, we might read up and they say, you know, you should feel better in 3 to 5 days or something, right? And then on day 6, you still feel a bit ugh. And you think, well, there must be something wrong with me, but it's just everyone sort of recovers at different paces.
Yes, and it depends on the severity of it, obviously, you know. So, you know, we have to give her time to recover. And we can help that along with good diet, but also, like, there's things like astragalus, Siberian ginseng, Korean ginseng. These are actually things that are very, very helpful. Licorice as well is another one. Mm. So these things actually help to bed body quickly back into its strong state.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you in terms of how long it takes for things to begin to work. Will quite a number of complementary remedies, like you've just mentioned there, you'll start to feel the positive impacts of it quite quickly?
There's different herbs that do different things. Now, so for example, like if you took, for instance, valerian, which is a herb for helping to relax and for sleep, it is an immediate effect. Within 10 minutes, you're feeling the effect of it. Where other things like over a long time period of time, you might need it for a long period, like say the mushrooms, which are fantastic to build up the immune system. So they would be used in a long-term use. So like reishi would be a great mushroom for actually building, for people with allergies and people that are run down, reishi would be a fantastic mushroom for that. But you know, you have to take them for a number of months to see the benefit. So it just depends, like Siberian ginseng and Korean ginseng are very fast acting. You start seeing the effect very rapidly. So it just depends on which herb you use, really.
Yeah, and that's done in consultation with someone like yourself, so you can manage people's expectations or elevate them, depending on what you're suggesting they might take. Hi, David. What is the best probiotic for IBS?
For IBS? Well, there's a number of ones that are out there that are specifically designed for IBS. And there's actually, if you go to down to the health food shops or the chemist, you'll actually find specific ones that are designed. What they're finding now is that the actual bacteria in the gut affect our immune system, our nervous system, you know, really a wide range of it. So they even have probiotics now that will affect people who have anxiety and you know, so it, and nervous system problems, as well as, you know, straightforward, building the immune
system. And
how
is that working? Is that in some way promoting the growth of certain things within your gut that benefit you? Or we don't want to get too scientific, but it's quite interesting how, you know, putting something in your mouth or consuming something then could have that type of an impact.
It's amazing, really. Well, there's so much research nowadays on the gut itself. So the gut itself really is your connection with the outside world, you know. So everything you take into your body, it has to go through the gut. So 70%, they reckon, of your immune system is actually in the gut. Mm. So all this bacteria in our gut are incredibly important for our health. So it affects all areas, like even, as I say, nervous system problems, like sleep even, you know, so a wide range of things. So there's what the research is showing, that in certain bacteria, they've noticed affects certain areas. So you can go and you can actually get a probiotic that suits a certain condition. Mm. And IBS is one of those.
Okay. This listener has two children under the age of two at creche. Every turnaround, there seems to be a new illness, be it chicken pox, the vomiting virus, colds. Is there anything other than a vitamin supplement that can be given to the children to build up their immune system? This caller has older children and they never had all of these illnesses, believe anyway, that's what they feel.
Well, you know, since COVID really, there has been, you know, there's been very bad infections, like lung infections, they're not COVID, but actual fact, because we were so isolated during the period of COVID, and particularly children were very isolated.
We interfered with nature, really.
Absolutely.
Didn't we?
We weren't getting those little colds and things that they'd normally go and they get to the creche. So all of a sudden, then you release them out into society and they're getting things and they're getting them harder because these actual infection things help to strengthen our immune system, you know. So really, they've lacked that for a number of years. So I would suggest that this person now, like, there is a number of particularly very good herbal combinations that help the astragalus is one, you know, there's very all these things are very safe with children. There's actually combinations there that actually are designed to because multivitamins are great if they're lacking something, but if they're not lacking something, sometimes the immune system needs a little bit of a lift up. So astragalus would be one of those things.
A listener's prone to kidney infections. Is there anything they can take as a preventative measure?
Yeah, well, you know, there's actually, like, some people find cranberry very good. They take cranberry, and I would always advise, you know, cranberry without the sugar.
Because some people actually just go into the supermarket, right, and take a carton of cranberry juice off the shelf.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here,
no,
per se.
No, not really. Like, you know, you can get cranberry that in sometimes they've put them in capsule form, sometimes in liquid form, but they take not the sugar. You see, the sugar, the trouble is when you take these cranberry juice, it's huge amounts of sugar because cranberry is very sharp today. So they put loads of sugar in it. Sugar then is not very good for the thing, for the urinary tract infection. So it kind of loses all its benefit. The other thing is a very simple thing, is barley, you know, barley itself. If you make if you use kind of 100 grams of barley, you know, a 1 pint of water, and you boil that up for 20 minutes and you create barley water, you add a bit of honey to it, and that's a lovely drink. Mm. And that actually very, very good for urinary tract infections.
Just backing up a little bit, is it understood that if you drink more sugary drinks or have more sugar in your tea, that you might be more prone to kidney infections?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. How does that work?
Well, you know, the worst, because sugar actually depresses our immune system, you know, and it's pro-inflammatory. So, you know, they've done studies where they've shown that if you take a certain amount of sugar, it stops the absorption of vitamin C into the cell, because vitamin C doesn't get in, and that weakens our immune system. Sugar is like, it's almost like a poison, I'm afraid.
All right, okay. You know? Listen, stay where you are, because the phone lines have gone berserk in a good way with people coming in with questions. So that means I have to take a quick break and hold on to you for another 10 minutes. Is that okay?
That's perfectly
we'll
okay,
We'll be back
Greg.
After these. And we have David Foley of The Natural Way in studio with us. Greg, not a question, but I just want to say a massive thank you to David and his team who have been a fantastic help to me over the years with all of my questions.
That's very nice. Thank you very much.
I'm on beta blockers and blood thinners. Can I take vitamin C and zinc while on these tablets?
Oh, absolutely. There's no problem.
They don't conflict. What would you recommend for a lack of sleep while in menopause?
Well, you know, valerian is a wonderful herb for this, you know. So we have a combination of valerian there that actually will help a person. And it's been proved to help with the menopause symptoms too, valerian.
And David, does that help you get off, or does it give you a better quality of sleep, less
both.
Likely for disruption?
Both, in actual fact. Sometimes it depends on each patient, you know, each person. You know, if it's... It will give you better quality sleep, but also put you to sleep very fast. But sometimes it needs to be combined with other herbs, and we have combinations there that will help that too.
I think, is valerian the one we spoke of before that comes in two forms, one slightly more palatable than the other, or is that a different thing?
I'm not quite sure.
Right, okay, we'll come back to that. But anyway, this version is quite palatable, okay. Remedies for brain fog and a lack of energy during perimenopause and menopause. Maybe it's a similar answer.
Yeah, a similar answer, really. Like, we have combinations of herbs that are very, very good to help with menopause. One of the things with menopause, the problem is that, you know, often it's due to the body not adapting to the change, just natural change that occurs at menopause. Or perimenopausal. So it's you have to help the adrenal glands, help the body to actually deal with the change. Mm. Once the body deals with the change, then it's the natural progression, their symptoms go away.
So it's giving the system a kick up the backside almost.
Well, it's just helping it.
Yeah.
It's helping it. Okay. Because, you know, normally today, like, you know, it's a very stressful society we live in, really, basically. And, you know, all the demands on people. And we get a bit run down. Mm. And then, you know, all of a sudden this big change happens to the body, the hormones change, and the body just can't deal with it. So, you know, using things that will actually help the body to adapt to that change is what's needed, you know.
My daughter suffers from pseudo-seizures. She sometimes feels it's coming on. Is there anything you would advise to help her control these feelings to avoid the seizure happening?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, there is nice tonics, we call them nervines. Mm. Things like, you know, thyme and, you know, these herbs that actually, rosemary and herbs like these, are actually very good for tonifying the nervous system. So it sounds like, you know, if her nervous system was strengthened. So we have particular tonics that actually will help that, you know.
Mm. And it's not hard to really understand it, because we know things like, I don't know, drinking alcohol can affect the nervous system in a negative way. So we can only presume then there is going to be a counterbalance to that.
That's right.
Although, you know, now I'm not saying this is a hangover cure, don't get me wrong, but do you know what I mean? It helps us sort of understand how what we take in can affect how we feel.
Oh, very much. And yeah. I mean, when you think of herb medicine, basically, people have discovered over thousands of years which herbs affect different parts of the body, you know.
Okay, and as you say, it's over thousands of years. Someone suffers from nausea. Is there anything natural that can be taken?
Yeah, well, ginger is a great help, you know.
How do you take it?
Well, you know, you can just... For people who are having morning sickness and things, people find that sometimes ginger biscuits, you know, the oat biscuits with ginger in them, they're very nice to take, and they just kind of settle down. Or you can take the ginger itself, they make a ginger tea. You can even get capsules of ginger.
Yeah. How important is it, the quality of what we take in? Like, say, for instance, honey. Because we talk about the benefits of honey, right? Yeah. But if you go in and get a jar of honey off a shelf that's heavily processed and imported from God knows where, you might not feel the benefits of going to your neighbour who has bees and consuming their honey. I presume it's the same with when you talk about ginger and you talked about cranberry, isn't it? It's how we consume it, presumably, preferably in its most purest form.
Oh, absolutely. Most organic is best of all, like, you know. And, you know, local stuff is so much better often, you know. Like, if you can get your local honey, you can guarantee that, you know, the beekeepers, they do it out of love. It's not much out of a commercial enterprise. And you get that local honey, header honey, whatever. These are fantastic.
Yeah. I'm taking HRT. Would you recommend supplements? And if so, what's best?
Well, you know, HRT, like we've taken, like it depends how the HRT, for HRT.
Can I just actually move back slightly, David, just to make sure everyone can hear? It's just the microphone is just a little bit echoey. Go ahead.
No, sorry.
No, you're perfect there.
One of the things with HRT is like normally people take RT for a short period of time and then they'll stop it. So if they can take like take multivitamins and all things with HRT, and that's perfectly okay. But if you can think of things that will help, as I was saying before, like help the body deal with the change that's happened, then when they come off the HRT, they don't have any symptoms. You know, they go on to normal. So things that will help the immune system, help the adrenal glands are very helpful in this case.
I'm having terrible trouble with facial nerve pain, David, which in turn gives me a terrible toothache. Can you please advise, is there anything you could suggest for this?
Well, there's two things I would think of. Like you can get St. John's wort oil. You can't get St. John's wort in the liquid form now to take internally, but you can get the oil and you can rub that on the face, and that's very good for nerve pain.
How does that work? Is there a numbing effect to it?
It was used, I believe, in the past. Really, a lot of these herbs, we don't really know exactly how they work. I mean, it was used, it was famous, St. John's wort, was for crushed hands in the past, back in the day type of thing. So you'd imagine a lot of nerve damage, you know, would occur, and there wasn't a way you could operate or anything in those days. So somehow it seems to it eases the nerve pain. But I would suggest acupuncture too. Okay. You know, acupuncture is very good for this type of pain.
What would you recommend for stomach acid?
Stomach acid.
I can imagine what they're currently engaging in, you know, your liquids and your powdery tablets. But is there anything more natural?
Well, you know, the thing is with stomach acid, a lot of it can be due with diet. So cutting out caffeine, particularly coffee, and things like high sugar content foods, they're very important, you know, to cut down on the acid.
I also found slowing down eating and not reclining soon after eating was of great help to me.
Very helpful too. And especially if they're a little bit overweight in the abdominal area, if that's going to be an awful factor too. So having the pillows a little bit higher in the bed at night can ease that a bit too, you know. So they can be very helpful.
Can you talk a little about probiotics in relation to oral health, gum disease, bad breath and so on?
Well, you know, bad breath, there's many factors why people have your... Sage is a wonderful herb to actually gargle with. For bad breath, it also helps the whole digestive system. So gargling and swallowing sage is very, very good. So you can get sage herb loose and just make a tea with it. That's very good. And there is probiotics that will, as I say, if you go to the health food shop, you'll find probiotics that are designed for each particular area. So you can get probiotics designed for this area too.
All right. I'm not sure if this is an alternative or complementary remedy question or not, but my ankle is swelling on my left foot. I'm of slim build, but I have high cholesterol, and they're on statins as well.
Yeah, on the left foot. Yeah, I would be inclined to go see your GP, to be honest with you, if you see swelling or edema like that, you know, unless there's an injury there that would say, why is that happening? But, you know, edema is always, especially in the ankles, always a little bit, you have to be a little bit careful.
I suspected that might be your answer, David. Yeah. Sore joints, glucosamine and chondroitin were advised. You can help me out on that one. I presume they're actual medicines. Is there any alternative?
No, they're not.
Complementary. Right, any other alternative natural product available?
Well, you know, it depends on the job. Like, turmeric is absolutely fantastic. It's an anti-inflammatory. And turmeric, you take, you know, turmeric every day, it actually reduces the inflammation in the body. And often with joint pain, it's inflammation that it can be the problem.
Okay, I only have time for a couple more, David. Red yeast rice. Again, this is it taking instead of statins for high cholesterol. I'm not sure if that's a road you would go down, but do you have a view on that?
Believe. There is actually very good remedies to reduce cholesterol, you know, without having to go on statins, you know. There's a number
because there is mixed views on statins, especially if you read the Daily Mail, because they have a different view on it every day. But anyway, that's in Britain, not as much here.
That's right.
So go ahead, natural.
You know, there there is natural remedies. There is plant statins, which are you can get in, and that's one particular form that's very, very effective for reducing cholesterol. So I would always suggest to people, if they have high cholesterol, try the natural remedies first. You know, try them for a period of time. Go back to your doctor, get a test. If it's down, that's great. If it isn't, you know, you can always go on statins. And, you know, first you would use those plant statins, and then you would just, this red wine yeast, that's another way of actually trying to control it.
Mm-hmm.
And if after you try those particular remedies, and they, to be quite honest with you, they often do work. They'll keep people from having to go on statins. But if you need statins, you need statins. But yeah, I think it's well worth trying the alternatives first.
All right. David Foley, owner of The Natural Way, Letterkenny, thanks for joining us for this Wellness Wednesday feature. If anyone wants to speak to you or any of your staff or your staff, you're located in the shopping centre in Letterkenny. All right, okay.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you very much for calling up. I really do appreciate your time. Okay,
thank you very much, Greg.
Business Matters, in association with the ATU Donegal Faculty of Business. Are you a senior manager in the private sector looking to reinforce your leadership skills? ATU are offering a Level 9 Executive MBS in Leadership and Innovation based around action learning, starting late April. Take the next step in your career and contact the Exec Ed Coordinator on 91862006 today or email donald.hannigan@atu.ie.
Okay, so I'll tell you what happens every Wednesday, for those of you who aren't aware. We have a podcast here called Business Matters that it goes live for you on our website, on Spotify and iTunes. And Kieran O'Donnell is the presenter of it. And he interviews business brains from across the region talking about their business, about themselves, their backgrounds, how they got to where they are. And whilst he's in shamelessly plugging his podcast, we get a roundup of some of the business news from across the region. So we go to the, we're going to delay the shameless plugging for a moment and talk about business news. Kieran, good morning to you. How are you keeping?
What an intro. Good morning, Greg. You're welcome back. I'm just checking the microphone here. Everything's okay.
It's I forgot. I
didn't. 2 weeks now.
2 weeks. Yeah. And then there was a week before that.
Yeah.
So it's been rare. It's good, okay, to, it's good to be
good
back.
Good to have you back.
Hey, let's stay with the good news that me and you are back together.
Yes.
Because the Mount Argyle Hotel in Letterkenny has achieved 4-star status. That is a big feather in the cap for not only the management there, but the staff as well.
Yeah, very much. As you say, the Mount Argyle Hotel is now recognised as a 4-star hotel by Fáilte Éireann. The 139-bedroom hotel has been run by the McAniff family since the 70s and employs around 150 people. And this reclassification follows a multi-million-euro renovation of the well-known establishment. So well done and good luck to them.
Yes, indeed. Donegal ATU have another opening evening coming up.
Yeah, the latest in a series of opening evenings, Greg. This time is for MedTech, Biopharma, Pharma and Quality courses. It's been held next Tuesday, April 25th from 7 to 9. And it will provide an opportunity to talk, as to join live talks and ask questions in the live Q&A session. So check out Donegal ATU socials for more on that.
Definitely. Now, I want to say Celtic Media Festival.
Correct. I was just double checking that myself last night. The 44th Annual International Celtic Media Festival will take place at the Waterfront Hotel in Dunloe from Tuesday, June the 6th to Thursday, June the 8th. This festival will bring together inspiring artists and creators within the film and media genres from regions including Brittany, Cornwall, Ireland, Isle of Man, Scotland and Wales. So good boost for the west of the county and nice to have hosting such a fairly prestigious event.
Good setting too.
Yeah.
Lovely hotel there and what a gym they have. You were up with that, weren't you?
I was up with,
I think you did one of your pods from there, didn't
that's
you?
Great.
Yeah, I mean it's like state of the art. What you would expect to see in a, you know, brand new gym in the heart of London, not that that's where we set the bar from, don't get me wrong, they have the same gear in there. It really is quite remarkable. I had a walk around. That's why
it's a massive boost to that area as well, Greg, just to have I think that's a 4-star down there as well.
Yeah, big catchment, so that's why very I suppose much. They do well. Irish Grown Wool Council established.
Yes, the first Irish Grown Wool Council was selected at a stakeholders meeting which took place recently at Athlone Springs Hotel. So the Irish Grown Wool Council brings together stakeholders from both sides of the border with the aim of improving the Irish wool sector. So the establishment of this organisation, Greg, is being described as a major milestone for the Irish wool industry and for the creation of a strong Irish grown wool brand. So obviously they're looking to get their, themselves organised and together and be a better force, which is good news for that sector.
I was hoping to keep it quiet, but my big news is out. I've cracked open the piggy banks.
Yes, you were sitting larging about Max there one morning, all right.
What's going on?
Yeah, an 8-acre site in Letterkenny has been sold for €4 million. The land along High Road is reported to have been bought by someone from the county. Great. Planning permission was granted back in 2014 for development comprising 6 retail units, 190 apartments, 17 duplex units and 18 townhouses, but that has since expired. And in the current county development plan, the site is zoned as establishment development stroked mixed usage. So the sale of this prime site was handled by local estate agent DNG Boyce Gallagher, and it will be interesting to see what happens next.
It really will be, because on both levels, if they sort of went along the lines of what was previously awarded planning permission for, any extra retail is always really quite interesting. But obviously there's quite a significant housing need that might be able to be met there, Kieran. So we'll see how things progress.
It runs down from the side of... runs down the side of the fire station and goes down and it backs on to the back of the old Oatfield site.
Right, so it's on the right hand side.
Yeah, if you're going down from here and you're going down past the hospital and go down the town, it's on the left.
Yeah.
So after you pass the four houses there on the left hand side, there's a gap. There's a house across the road there from Max Deli. It's directly across there and on down to the very bottom. So it's about 2/3 down Oliver Plunkett Road.
Actually, you probably wouldn't even know it's there if you're just a road user. Yeah. Okay, that's really quite significant. Okay, excellent stuff. So that was a run through some of the top business stories from across the region. So let's get on to the podcast. And you are speaking to Clive Alcorn. This is, I had a couple of chats with Clive because we were down at Tropical World. And he's got a really interesting approach, and I think this is going to be a really interesting podcast, Kieran.
Yeah, I'm going to be joined this week by Clive of Alcorn's Garden Centre and also is the owner of A Tropical World in Letterkenny. Clive's parents, late parents Tommy and Martha, set up a florist shop at Lochnagin in the 80s, and Clive began working full-time in the business when he was still a teenager. When his father retired, Clive formed Alcorns Limited along with his brother John, sister Caroline, who also run Alcorns Flowers. And it was always Clive's ambition to establish his own zoo, and in 2011 he opened Tropical World, which attracts 40,000 visitors annually. Here, Clive talks about the positive influence his late parents had on himself and on his siblings.
Well, my father and mother were, as to say, genuine people. My mother was a person, if anybody who remembers her would say, my mother never made money because she actually gave away more plants than she sold. And that was her nature. She loved people and she loved, and as I say, the saddest thing is that I would say today is that she never ever got to see the good of Alcorns. My father seen, as I say, it developed through the years, see us develop into the business and the business go forward, and was a great man for actually backing, what the future or what. And I remember going to trade shows and would have went and maybe he'd looked at a piece of machinery. And I remember going to a show in Kildare one time and looking at this bit of machinery, and myself and himself were standing looking at it. And the Dutchman says to me, would you be interested? I say, maybe in the future. And of course, he took my telephone number. And he rung me every year for 3 years. And eventually, I says, look, to my dad, what do you think? He says, get the machine here, it'll speed things up. And that was it was always the vision of how we can make it better, how we can, as I say, increase production, but at the same time, it has to be done in a sustainable nature, and it has to be viable.
Yeah, and balancing that's the difficulty, but one, a balance they're striking out there. And I get a sense, Kieran, that, you know, obviously a hugely successful business there outside Letterkenny, but this is also about Clive, him as an individual, his philosophy, his influences.
Yes, very much. Look, he talked there on his late parents and the positive influence that it has had on himself. And I suppose he still takes great inspiration from the example that they set. How to make things better is probably sums up Clive and his approach to his business. We talked about a lot of things in a lot of detail. He's a huge passion for nature. He's a huge passion for educating and for hoping that young people will be aware of what's around them, and I suppose the importance of knowing what is happening around them. Outside of his work, he has huge passion, Formula One and Bunagi. So we covered a lot of topics, and it was a very, very interesting conversation.
Yeah, okay. Now, you can hear that in its entirety on our website right now, highlandradio.com, or on Spotify or iTunes as well. It's ripped to it. So you can listen to it, stream it, or download it, okay? So whatever way you want to do it. Business Matters, this episode, like all, are then aired on a Sunday evening, Kieran, at the regular time?
Yeah, Greg, just after the 6 o'clock news.
And if anyone wishes to get in contact with thou, how do they do so?
Just send me an email, please, businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
And I don't want to repeat myself, but there's a big archive there now of really, really interesting interviews which are of interest to people outside of business, and I think those within business too, Kieran, because over the year, we can almost actually over the years now at this stage, can't we, Kieran? You know, there's an awful lot of testimonies from people as to how they made it, the mistakes they made, and sometimes everyone has to make their mistakes for themselves, but there's a lot in there, isn't there, for all different types of
listeners. Yeah, so when you get talking to somebody that for the show, and they may have listened back to another show, they're able to say, look, I heard him saying, or I heard her saying, or I thought that was interesting. So yeah, business people do tune into it as well, and I suppose they're looking and listening to see if they can pick up any wee thing, or if they can find a wee bit more about somebody that they know or don't know.
Okay, just to remind you once again, if you want to get in contact with Kieran, the email address is businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Simple as that, isn't it?
That's it.
All right, Kieran, thanks so much.
Good morning, Greg.
Really do appreciate it. Thank you. That's live for you right now, by the way, on our website. Let me see. I think I have time to... No, I don't have time for any comments. So I'll carry these dozens of comments that we have left over into tomorrow. That's Thursday. So we're going to thank you for listening to the show today. It's been great having you on board. Thanks to Niamh, who worked on the social media and assisted Caroline, who researches and produces the show most days.